The ministry of Jesus focused on the needs of people. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover the difference Jesus Christ can make in our lives all year long.
The pop psychology of the day and the secular humanism of this day says, hey, anything the mind can conceive, your life can achieve, and all of that is nothing. Because when you stop and think about it, the Christian life is not about what I can do. It is to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Jesus often avoided the spotlight and instead focused his ministry on the needs of people. In our series, The Ministry of Jesus, we will explore the life of Christ, who he is, and what he taught. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Through the New Testament, those who encountered the ministry of Jesus never left quite the same. In our series today, you'll discover the difference Jesus makes when you engage with him personally and experience his touch in your life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Jesus Calms a Storm.
Well, this morning we continue learning of the ministry of Jesus Christ in Galilee. And in Galilee, the Lord Jesus is emphasizing his works, but also his words. And in fact, the words were only being elevated by the works and the miracles that he did. They were signs to these who were unbelievers, and he was performing many miracles during this portion of his ministry. He would remain here in Galilee until he set his face toward Jerusalem. Later on, we'll read of that in chapter 9 and verse 51, which is an indication that he was then taking his final steps toward his crucifixion. But here we see him now reaching out into this region with his gospel. Today we focus on the Sea of Galilee itself, and we're going to see at the Sea of Galilee a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see that, of course, much of the ministry of Christ surrounded this little Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 12 miles long, about 6 miles wide at its widest point. It is believed to have been much larger during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the banks would have swelled further on. What we view as this tranquil first century existence around the Sea of Galilee, it's the pressure cooker of the world today. And so, having given a little bit of that background, we think of the Sea of Galilee. I view it a little bit as Lake Castaic or something you might see in the coastal hills of California, but a beautiful, beautiful place. And this is where Jesus spent his ministry during his 3.5 years of preaching. Now, in the Old Testament, sometimes the Sea of Galilee was referred to as Kinnesaret. Sometimes in the New Testament, it was referred to as the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Gennesaret. But most commonly, it is referred to as the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus used a lot of imagery from fishing and farming to explain biblical principles. No doubt, he drew upon these images in order to illustrate to his followers what eternal truth God wanted them to know. And as we come to the Sea of Galilee this morning, I want you to notice here in verse 22, it says, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side. And they launched forth. But as he fell asleep, there came a storm of wind on the lake. Now I want you to notice, first of all, this morning in this text, the problem of the disciples. The problem of the disciples. And I believe, like us, they probably had many problems. I believe one of their problems may have been pride. I think they could have had the attitude of saying, boy, Jesus is lucky to have us on his little boat today because he doesn't know a lot about getting across the sea, but we do. And they were going to learn that they were fortunate to have Jesus on the boat with them. Sometimes we plan our day and we get going in our direction kind of thinking, okay, God, I know what I'm doing. Come with me. Come with me, Lord. I'll kind of take the lead here, but I'll show you where we're going to go. And that would have often been the spirit of these men and of all of us, but they were going to learn, and I hope we learn this morning, that it's not about us charting the course and bringing Jesus. It's about us letting Jesus chart the course and following him. And when we see the problem of these disciples, we're going to see, first of all, that as they got into this storm, they did not remember His word. Their problem was that they did not remember His word. Now, the Bible tells us that they launch forth, they go out into the water, and it's interesting to me that as they sail, verse 23, Jesus fell asleep. So 13 men get into this little vessel, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is so weary that He falls asleep. And make no mistake about it, the ministry, teaching, preaching, counseling is exhausting. It is utterly, physically exhausting. And we see that Jesus, who is 100% God, is also 100% man, and physically He falls immediately asleep. And by the way, how many of you, if you get around water, it might make you sleep a little more? Some people are like that, just relaxes you just a little bit. I don't know if that was the case, but whatever the case in our Lord's life, as soon as He got into this vessel, the Bible says He fell asleep. And it was in this particular moment that as Jesus is falling asleep, that these men forgot what Jesus had told them. They did not remember His word. Now, Jesus had declared their destination. He had made that very clear to them. In verse 22, He said, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." Jesus said, "Well, let's go on over to the other side of the lake. Let us go over." That means to pass through. There's a word that I like to think about sometimes. It's the simple word providence. It's taken from two words, providio. And it means to see before. And Jesus saw before where they were going. How many of you are glad that we serve a God who's in our yesterday and our tomorrow? And He said, "Let's go. We're going to go to the other side." He had already made that declaration. And so they launched out. Now, evidently, Jesus mentioned crossing the lake to His disciples both before they got into the boat and, according to Mark chapter 8 and verse 18, even after they got into the boat. So it was not something that was suggested only. It was something that was stated very clearly by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to know is that His command to go to the other side constitutes a guarantee that they would arrive safely. He said, "We're going to go to the other side." And I want you to make a mental note of that, because when God gives you a promise, even if there's a storm in the middle, even if there's a delay along the way, you need to cling to the promises of God. But the mistake and the problem of the disciples was that they were not listening to the promise of God. And I want you to understand something about God's promises this morning. When you read something in the Psalms, when you hear something preached at church, I want you to understand, you cannot break God's promises by leaning on them. Okay? When I was a kid, we used to sing the song, "Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting," what? "Arms of Jesus." Just leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. And that was a song that was teaching me, you can lean on Him and you can trust Him. Dwight L. Moody was a great preacher, of course, back 100 years or so ago. And he was preaching some meetings around the Great Lakes region. And Dwight L. Moody was in the lake on a ship when a great storm developed, and people similarly became very, very afraid, and they were worried for their lives, and they started an impromptu prayer meeting. They asked Moody if he would please join the prayer meeting. And Moody looked up at the man that was begging him to come to the prayer meeting, and he said, "I'm not going to come to the prayer meeting right now." And the man said, "Why not? Why wouldn't you come to the prayer meeting?" And Moody said, "Listen," he said, "I have a sister in Chicago, and I have a sister in heaven, and I really don't care which one I see tonight." Now, I don't know that my faith would be as strong as Moody's. I might want to see the one in Chicago, amen? But what he was saying is, God's seen before where we're going, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. How many of you would say with me, I want my faith to grow stronger like that, amen? But you see, the disciples did not remember what Jesus had said. He had declared their destination, and the declaration was a promise to them of safety. Jesus never promised no waves. Jesus never said, no turbulence. Jesus never said, no seasickness. How many of you are like me? You get out on the ocean, if you don't take some Dramamine or put some kind of something behind your ear or on your wrist, you're going to get sick. Anybody like that? I remember our very first deep sea fishing trip. We had 10 or 12 men that wanted to go deep sea fishing. Oh, what a miserable experience. I'm telling you, I wanted to be a good pastor, but I didn't make it 500 yards to Catalina before I got sick. And I've learned over the years that that waves accompany that ocean when you get out there. And so Jesus didn't say there would be no waves. He just said, we're going to get to the other side. And I just want to say this morning that there are waves and difficulties that we face in life. And there are times when we're just sailing along and the storms come so suddenly, as we'll see in just a moment. But don't question God in those times. Keep your faith in the Lord. They made the mistake of not remembering the word of the Lord. Secondly, they did not remember His presence with them. They forgot the power of the presence of Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says in verse 23. But as they sailed, He fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now, the presence of God makes all the difference, but we must reckon that presence. We must reckon God is with us. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So God says, look, if you are with me, in my presence, there's fullness of joy. But they had forgotten who Jesus was. They had forgotten that He was with them and that in His presence is fullness of joy. And I understand this because the storm had risen up and they were in jeopardy. So what did they focus on? Did they focus on the fact that, oh, hey, no problem, some water's getting in, but Jesus is with us? Or did they forget who Jesus was momentarily and focus on the water? And you know the answer to that. They focused on the water. And sometimes when storms come up, and sometimes when we're overwhelmed and the water's beating against us, and it's not just one or two waves, but it's just wave after wave after wave, sometimes we can forget that Jesus Christ is with us. And when you get that bad news, and when there's that difficulty with finances or family, whatever it might be, we begin to focus on the problem and forget that Jesus is on board. Obviously, the storm was threatening them, but the storm was causing them to lose their perspective. I don't know this morning what's happening in your life, but I believe that as the storms come, and they come to everybody, I believe that as the storms come, we need a time on Sunday morning to be reminded to look back to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be reminded that Jesus Christ is still with us. These storms can be unpredictable. The word storm here is an interesting Greek word. It means a whirlwind or a tempestuous wind. And so this wasn't just a downpour of rain. This was a cyclone, if you will. And as we studied some weeks ago, that the Sea of Galilee was a few hundred feet below the Mediterranean Sea, and that oftentimes the winds would come off that Mediterranean Sea and sweep over towards Galilee in the afternoons, and great cyclones would develop on this little lake. It was a violent, agitated wind. And the Bible says they were in jeopardy. And of course, that word means that they were in danger. They were in danger of facing a terrible time and wondering how would they live and would they get through the storm. I heard of a story of a ship that was sinking in the middle of a storm, and the captain called out to the crew and said, "Does anybody here know how to pray? Does anybody know how to pray?" And one man said, "Yes, sir, I know how to pray." And the captain said, "Wonderful, you pray while the rest of us put on life vests. We're one short of life vests today." That kind of illustrates the thought process we get into. When we get into the storm, we start counting our life vests. We count our finances. We count our connections, our education. We kind of look at everything that we have to solve the problem. And the last thing we want to look at is prayer. And the last thing we want to do is remember that Jesus is on board. And Jesus had stressed to them that they would go to the other side. But three times we read here of the wind, verse 23, 24, and 25. And we see the fear that developed in their heart. Now we need to recognize when those winds come that God has not promised to make us comfortable, but that He has promised to make us conformable. And that God, through these discomforting times, is chiseling away at our hearts and making us more like Jesus Christ. And He's helping us to become men of God and women of God. And when the storms come, we're either going to look to our little raft or our little ways, or we're going to look to God and become more like Him. You see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. When I get to the end of myself, I realize, Lord, if You don't stop this storm, if You don't give me grace, then I'm not going to be able to get through at all. A hurricane had struck and people were gathered together, and there was a preacher in the midst of them, and he was preaching and giving them some tremendous challenges about prayer and trusting God. And he cried out to the Lord, this preacher did, in the middle of the hurricane, and he said, "Lord, send us the spirit of the children of Israel Give us the spirit of the children of Moses and the children of the promised land. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. And as he was giving this flowery cry unto the Lord, there was an elderly man who spoke up in the midst of the prayer meeting. And he said, Lord, don't send nobody. Send yourself. This ain't no time for children, he said. He didn't want the children of Israel. He didn't want the children of Moses. He wanted the Lord himself. Let me tell you what, when you're in a storm, you want the Lord himself. Amen. And yet the point is, the Lord was with them all the time. He was right there, sound asleep, in the midst of the storm. But they forgot his presence. Psalm 93 and verse 3 is in your notes. The floods have lifted me up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord is on high, and the Lord is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The problem of the disciples, they did not remember his word. They did not remember his presence. And I'm here to tell you this morning that oftentimes when we're in the midst of the storm, we're just like these disciples. We forget his word and we forget his presence. And that's why when the storms come, you don't get out of church, you get into church. That's why when the storms come, you don't get out of the word, you get into the word. Because listen, when the storms come, what we need is the word and the presence of God in our lives. And so let's learn a lesson from these disciples, that we would not forget the presence of Almighty God. But notice secondly this morning, the power of Jesus. I want you to see in this passage the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Now, as we come to this verse, we see in verse 24, Jesus again, calm, and he's in a deep sleep. And they have to call out to him, Master, Master. Some of us sleep more lightly. Some people sleep in a very deep sleep, but the Bible indicates that Jesus was soundly sleeping. And we see that while outwardly the life of Jesus was filled with struggle and storms, inwardly we can learn from Jesus Christ how to have peace in the midst of the storm. And Jesus is sleeping during the storm. And on a pillow, verse 38, we read of that John's gospel, or rather in Mark's gospel. And he was asleep. And I just want to say this about my Lord this morning. I'm glad this morning that I serve a God who understands fatigue, who understands pain, and who understands difficulty. Just that little snapshot of Jesus asleep reminds me that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Look in your notes at Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest, speaking of Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you say, boy, I tell you what, I have been really tired lately. How many of you understand? Jesus understands that, okay? Your Buddha statue isn't going to understand it. Your dead prophet isn't going to understand it. But Jesus is alive at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And he says, hey, when you're tired, come to me. When you're having pain, I understand pain from the cross. When you have the loss of a loved one, I wept when Lazarus died. And Jesus says, I want you to know I'm approachable and I understand the feelings and the infirmities of your life. And so we see here that Jesus, first of all, has power over fear. And in verse 24, the Bible tells us that he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased and there was a calm. Here we see that the wind is spoken to. And as these came to Jesus and they find him in Mark 4:38, asleep on a pillow in the hinder part, they say, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And they come to him asking him for his help. They were concerned that they would die. They were concerned that they would perish. That word perish means to put out of the way, to ruin. They thought their lives were over. I heard the story of two explorers in a jungle, and they were on a jungle safari in Africa, and they had been told to keep calm if they saw any animals in their direct vicinity. That was what the explorer whispered, and sure enough, they came upon some wild lions, and they were going back and forth and very fiercely growling. And the explorer, remember now, the explorer said, remember what we read in the manuals before this trip. And stand perfectly still and look the lion right in the eye, and the lion will run from you. And so his companion said, okay. And then they're standing there and they're staring at the lion. And the companion said to the explorer, he said, now you've read that book and I've read that book, but has the lion read that book? And sometimes it's hard to stay calm when you feel like you're about ready to perish. And that's what the disciples experienced. They were about ready to perish. And I want you to understand that Satan, when you're in those storms, wants you to feel like you're not going to make it. He wants you to feel like that God does not care. But again, God is always working in our lives. I love this quote. I believe it was from Robert Morgan. It says, problems dislodge our core of self-sufficient pride and drive us to the Lord. Problems dislodge our core of self-sufficient pride and drive us to the Lord. Now, let me tell you something about storms. God will allow as many as are needed until we come to the end of self and until we look to Him in the way that we should. And God was using this storm to bring the disciples to the end of self and to bring them exactly where we find them now. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And so we would be wise to turn to the Lord quickly when the trials come into our life. The psalmist spoke of that. Psalm 116, verse 3. The sorrows of death encompassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found sorrow and trouble. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Then called I on the name of the Lord. You see, one of God's purposes for allowing the trials is that we would call on the name of the Lord. And so here we see the power of Jesus. He is giving them power over fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Secondly, we see that He has power over nature. Now notice this in verse 24 as well. He rose, He rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Now Jesus, first of all, rebukes the wind. And it is entirely possible in my mind, and I believe scripturally, to believe that the wind could have even been frothed about by Satan himself. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 says that Satan is the prince and the power of what? The air. And I believe that Satan fought Jesus every step to the cross of Calvary. This was just one step to Gadara, a few more steps around Galilee, down to Jerusalem, where he would suffer at Pilate's false justice hall, where he would then be crucified on the old rugged cross. And there is constantly the push of Satan against the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus stood, he uses this word, and he rebukes the wind. That means he charged sharply. And I'm thankful today that I serve a God who can speak to the wind and it brings a calm immediately. That's the God that we serve. Nahum 1:4, He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. Colossians chapter 1 and tells us that Jesus, in verse 15, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we're offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Paid in Full. It's yours when you make a donation to this ministry. Visit paulchappell.com to find out more. With your gift of just $10 a month, you can become a partner in the Word to help continue spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.